in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 150. One.
No!
Those weren't movie sellers, by the way. They were bad.
No, hang on. No, will you fucking stop this? You've been doing it all week. It's really been pissing me off. It's not. It's show 150.
Yeah, we saved this for you.
No, it's plus one bollocks. No, it's plus one. No, we've done road shows before. We've done extras before.
If anyone can hear how angry Dan is, they'll see why I'm saying 150. It's show number 150, honestly.
Thank you. It's show number 150. It's the birthday show.
How the fuck have we made it this far?
No idea.
God knows. Ragtag bunch. But
To be fair though, those four listeners that listen to us every week now are still really enjoying it.
Well, it could be five actually, because, well, I'll explain later in the show why.
You listened last week, didn't you?
I didn't actually. I didn't have a chance, I was all doing things.
Useless.
And
driving
stuff.
What? Where?
I was down in Brighton for a couple of days for Mrs. Dad's 50th, so...
No one cares.
Knocking around, my fence fell down in the wind.
Oh no, Stormwatch.
Oh, it's terrible. It's a nightmare. Tried to go to a...
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Right, enough of that.
Okay. Anyway,
right, well, no one cares.
Dan, you've actually been saying all week how much you wanted something special.
Yes.
For the show.
Have we got, all right. Is it? Are we doing... 150-minute long show.
No. We're not, and we're also not tying in with the Football Association being 150 because
that's
the
violation. No,
can I get to name the 150 best ever Spurs players?
No.
No, but it's something.
You probably
similar.
Don't have 150.
What about 150 reasons why I love Tottenham?
No, but if you let me get on.
What about 150 reasons why Tottenham are the best team in the world?
Dan, there is something Tottenham related for you to celebrate.
Okay.
We also don't have Lothar Matthäus here for 150 caps for Germany.
He didn't turn up.
We tried to get him. He might turn up later in the
Can't
show.
Believe he didn't turn
or
up.
Maybe I'll do a bad
We have got
accent.
12 envelopes.
We've got 12 envelopes.
Well, who's here? Who's here?
We've got myself, Michael Coxon. We have the hypochondriac that is Andy Franks, won't blow a hooter. We've got germ-filled Dan Silver.
Apparently so.
And we've got the lovely Chris with a beautiful muscle t-shirt on.
Thank you.
Showing off the
we've
guns.
We've kind of got matching muscle t-shirts on, haven't we?
Yeah. I don't really have any muscles.
No.
Yeah, no.
It's like sitting across from the Legion.
We haven't got Jim Staples, and to be fair, he might try and pop down, but he is absolutely...
He's only going to moon. He's just going to be in a moody
mood. No, he was quite a good mood today. But there is no defence for Jerome Mundell, who...
He said he's a bit poorly.
No, he's going to... Bear in mind, he's going for drinks. Right, drinks. You know what I'm saying?
He's gone to Brody's.
His pregnant mate's last day. I'm not being funny. He used to fancy her. He used to want to shag her. There's no point now. She's pregnant. She's having the kids.
Yeah,
leave it.
To be fair, knowing Jerome's reputation, it might
he said to me yesterday, though, he went, definitely got a thing for pregnant women. I went, Jerome.
Someone else who used to work with used to have a thing for pregnant women as well. It's
dirty
a strange
bastard.
But anyway, you know we wanted to do something special.
Yeah, I did want
and
to do
you
something
especially.
Special. I did.
We haven't done a game show in a while, have we?
We haven't done a game show!
So you know what we're doing? Dan Silver, you're going to be the star of Tottenham Hotspur Deal or No Deal. There we go.
Oh my God.
We've got 12 envelopes in front of us. We did do the full number. You need to pick an envelope and not look in it. So they're numbered 1 to 12. You
right.
Pick any. Pick wisely.
Why don't you go for your shirt number? Well, start with your shirt number, Dan.
Number 36 isn't there. Boom, boom.
All right. I'm going to go with number 6.
Number 6. There you go. So take the box. Don't look into it.
I'm not looking into it.
I must explain the way this is working. We have got 12 Tottenham Hotspur players who will be revealed as we go along, ranking from awful to fantastic.
Oh, this looks good.
We're going to have chances to deal where I might throw in a few other Tottenham players that could potentially be from down the years. I'm going to take on the role of the banker as Jim isn't here. You guys, you're going to be the guys in charge of take subtle humour.
Yeah.
Still talk about
made me laugh.
And basically, you guys are going to be the guys revealing it. Make sure you give him all the deal or no deal sort of encouragement. This is your game, Dan. You've got to play it how you want to. That sort of crap that I hate.
Yeah.
So, we'll take it. So,
you've clearly been doing no work this morning.
I've never watched Deal or No Deal, by the way.
Not?
So, I'm really excited.
All you're going to be doing is opening envelopes and revealing the name inside.
Really?
So, obviously, the £250,000 prize, so to speak, would be...
Jürgen Klinsmann.
Jürgen Klinsmann.
And the one pence prize is David Bentley.
And then I think that's a bit harsh.
No, but you got Jason Dezelli.
Yeah.
They're all Premier League era, but
Greg
Gordon, you might be able to trade off. We'll see. We'll wait till the envelopes are open.
Right,
so,
well, we need to. Don't the listeners need to be able to know who's at the bottom?
Well, they'll hear
the
as we go along. Well, I suppose they should.
All right. So in last place, going from bottom to top, representative 1P and going up. So bottom to top, David Bentley, Sergei Rebrov, Gregor Raziak, Jason Dezelle, Sebastian Besson, Danny Murphy, Christian Ziga, Jermaine Defoe, Brad Fiedel, Georgi Popescu, Gareth Bale and Jürgen Klinsmann.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really, really, really
any
weird
reason,
12.
Any reason for
I just
12?
Picked a few random ones. I picked ones that were notable for being bad. I picked ones that were notable for being good.
No Lineker. No Gazza.
No Lineker. No Gazza.
But, as I said, they
no Jimmy
be,
Greaves.
They're no Sheringham.
Be, as I said, they might be thrown in as deal offers
throughout
the show. Right, let's go. Dan, first number, which one do you want?
Seven.
Seven, so seven. Who is he not going to be?
Dan, I really hope that, you know, this works out for
we
you.
We can't get this
done
as
long. Dan Silva is not going to be...
Is it Bale?
Gareth Bale.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's anyway.
Sorry, right.
That is a bad start.
A terrible
banker
start.
Is, he's going to be rubbing his hands together. So, who next?
Four.
Four.
I think we're going to have to...
It's gone for even numbers so far.
Four. It would have been really good.
No, he hasn't. He had seven before.
They have been put in at random by an independent adjudicator, i.e. me, but with my eyes closed.
Right.
So. Best of luck, Dan.
Thanks, mate.
Jermaine Defoe.
Two from the red side.
That's not bad.
Number nine.
Normally, by the way, you go over and kiss the people as they open it, but we can forget that. I'll have this. Dan, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. Just play your game, remember. The way it goes. It's a bit better.
I'm so nervous.
It's a blue. It's Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy.
Ring.
Right. Oh, it's number 11.
The banker's on the line. The banker. He's had a look. Hello, banker.
No. I say hello, banker. You're the banker.
No, I'm also Noel Edmonds, so talk to the banker.
Oh, right.
So, the banker is going to offer you Alan Nielsen. He's not on the list, he's going to offer you an Alan Nielsen.
No deal.
Alan Nielsen. There we go, another three.
Number five. Come on, quick this one.
Oh no!
It's not Jürgen the German.
It's Jürgen.
Jürgen. Goes
shit.
From bad to worse.
The best I can hope for is Georgi Popescu.
Unless you,
Number eight.
I'm nervous.
Well, there's a bit of good luck for you, David Bentley.
David Bentley.
So you're not joining the David Bentley club. And one more.
Number ten.
Sebastian Besson.
Yes.
A decent finish. Not bad. Ring.
Who could that be?
He's phoned up. He's having to think. You've lost the big ones. He's offering you Dean Austin.
Oh, no fucking
Dean
deal.
Dean Austin.
No deal.
No deal. Number 12.
You're only picking two in this round because we've not got enough cards.
Right.
Rebrov.
Sergei Rebrov.
So I'm now in favour. I've now got more in the red than having the blue.
Yeah.
Number one.
Oh, he's blown it.
I've still got Brad in the bag.
Still got Brad.
Number 11.
Let's hope it's not Brad.
So you're stuck between Brad Field and Jason. Is that ring?
It's not a bad situation to be.
The banker,
it's not the worst situation, it's not the best.
The banker is rubbing his hands together. He's got you just where he wants him. He's going to offer you Ian Walker.
Oh, no deal.
Ian Walker.
No deal.
Also offering you the opportunity to swap. You can keep number six, that's your box, or you can swap.
I'm keeping number six.
Ian Walker. You know, Sarah Vista went out with Ian Walker.
No,
opens the last one.
All right.
Yeah, and shows you that you are, if you were a Tottenham Hotspur player, you'll be Jason Dezelle.
He's gone for the Dezelle.
He's blown it. And just to prove it was fair, Brad Friedel is in
Brad
the last
Friedel
box.
Is in the remaining box.
I'm afraid. But you,
well,
have,
yeah,
have you had
really
fun
glad,
today?
I'm just really glad to have been on the show.
Yeah. It was lovely having you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Turn up next week when I try and think of 12 Brentford players and they all end up being Marcello Trotter. So that'll be fine. Maybe Nicky Forster.
We've never actually owned Trotter, you know.
Well, you know, Coy takes penalties.
So it's only taken 10 minutes, but we're actually going to start talking about
minutes.
Football.
Yeah. But that was all right.
I enjoyed that.
Really enjoyed that.
The celebrations. Where should we start? Should we start the weekend?
Why don't we?
Last weekend?
Why not?
Thoughts? Anything that sticks out?
I mean, obviously Bristol City got their first win of the season. Go on, Bristol City. Still bottom of the league, but well done. They got their first win.
Well, they're not bottom of the league, actually.
I thought they were.
But did Notts County win last night?
Yeah. Notts County won. So unfortunately,
they're back to the bottom of the league.
And, right, so let's continue with trivia. Who is the only team in the football leagues to have not won a game?
Is it Sheffield Wednesday?
It is Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. Good knowledge, Michael.
Well, knowledge is the bomb. But they have
Especially when you've got tables in front of you.
Well, yeah. But,
it's got to be the Man United Stoke game.
Oh, it was a very interesting one.
It was fucking annoying.
Oh, I don't know. Sunderland Newcastle was a fantastic game. Really, really good. I thought that was a really good game.
But yeah,
fantastic, but I mean, derby.
Yeah, but for Stoke to be 2-1 up with 5 minutes to or 10 minutes to go.
I will say, I was sat there.
I'm gutted.
I was watching it on dodgy TV, which was great because at one point it was an American channel, I think it was NBC, and it came up advertising the World Series of Fighting. I mean, fighting. It's not wrestling. It's just fighting. Really, I would watch that definitely. We were a bit sloppy in defence. We were very good at times going forward.
I'm really annoyed with myself.
Why are you annoyed with yourself?
I'm really annoyed with myself. Because that would have been a really good link to a story about fighting that I saw.
Would it?
Yeah.
Well,
I've ruined it. I've ruined it. So keep going. I'll try and get it another time. Just so you know, I'm really annoyed with myself.
Some would say it was evocative of the United of old. And we have improved. We haven't lost for six games now, blah, blah, blah.
Jason Dazelle.
To be fair, he was, I think he was the youngest ever goal scorer when he was at Ipswich.
That makes me feel so much better.
And then
How old was he?
He was 16 and something. He's been surpassed now, I think, by...
Well, he definitely has.
Was it Aaron Lennon or James Vaughan is now the youngest ever top flight goal scorer?
Bloody hell.
With 16 and something. Now, I don't think he's ever been surpassed.
There must have been a 15-year-old.
Rooney was
no,
once.
No, Rooney
was 16, wasn't he?
Rooney was briefly, and then it was James Milner, and then it was 16, Aaron Lennon.
Was Owen 16
Owen
or was he 17?
Owen was just 17. Which is also a girls' magazine. But there you go.
It's not anymore, is it?
Oh my God.
No. But a couple of big games as well. You mentioned Sunderland and Newcastle.
Hang on a minute. I will. You really rode your luck again against Stoke.
Yeah, I mean, massively. I was texting my mate.
Don't forget, if Walters puts it anywhere other than straight at De Gea, and it was still a fantastic save, but I mean, he's fucking hell. You got the whole goal. You're hitting it on the volley. I mean, it's not. I think it's harder to not score.
It's a lot of ifs and buts because I mean we had a few chances at the other end, but it was very frustrating for 70 minutes and then great for the next 20.
Cannot be happy with how you're playing. Really not good enough.
I think we're getting better. Of course, it's not good enough. We're Man United and we're 8th.
Would Moyes still be in a job if he'd lost on Saturday?
Of course he would.
Oh, we played a game on
Do you really think that?
Yeah, of course he would.
No, of course he would.
Without a doubt.
No, but we actually were talking in the pub, lads play football with. How many games it would take for Moyes to lose on the trot for him to get sacked?
Four.
You reckon if he lost
four games on the trot, he'd get sacked?
You reckon that as little as that?
I reckon if you'd lost on Saturday and you lost again this weekend, I reckon he'd go.
See, we reckon 10. We reckon 10.
10?
Yeah, but
no, 10 in a row.
Yeah.
I think maybe 10.
I think it'd be less than
10
that.
without winning.
But five, if he lost five on the trot, but there'd still be. No, there's still those calls for giving time. He's got a new set. He's got to settle. I don't think because to actually get rid of Moyes would be such an embarrassment. I swear, smell marijuana. It would be such an embarrassment to the club as a whole. Yeah. I think it would be more of an embarrassment if
we were 13th in the league at Christmas though, after winning the league last
season. Yeah.
But what I will say, we're not playing well enough. But we're now only 2 points behind Man City, and we're still.
That doesn't say a lot. They're seventh.
And well, exactly. But
that'd be fine if they were top of the league.
But okay, we're only 5 points behind Tottenham, who haven't exactly been pulling up trees.
I know where you're coming from here.
What you're going to say is that a lot of the time.
Still a day before November, United have always started, you know, season slowly. You're not that far away from touching distance of the leaders.
Even more, I mean, the one I will say is Arsenal. They've got Liverpool at the weekend, and then they've got us.
I fancy Arsenal against Liverpool this weekend.
I think they'll get results, but if they did lose and then lost to United, we'd be 2 points behind them.
Yeah.
So it's very close. A lot of these teams haven't played a lot of the higher up in the league.
Is this good enough?
All we really care about is the fact that Man United are in.
But yeah,
but if we win one and they lose one and everybody like loses every game and then there will be top.
It's depressing, yes, Michael, but all I'll say, right. All I'll say is revel in it now because
I fucking am.
We know it's not going to last forever.
Can I also so I've bigged up Bristol City. I'd like to big up Coventry. They won big again. Yeah. They won away at Walsall. They're actually, if you take away their 10-point deduction from the start of the season,
enough is off.
They've been in fourth. They would be in fourth in League One. That's fucking incredible. Really, really
good.
Well,
they're flying. And speaking of very close leagues, there is 3 points between first and ninth in League Two. It's ridiculous. Go. How I wish there United win that league. Yeah. And if the way we're playing, we might be in a few years. Boom, boom. But yeah, so anyway, we were talking about the North East Derby earlier.
Yeah,
or Tyne Wear Derby to give it its proper name.
Well, just good. I was really pleased with the Sunderland fans. They got to see a team who are actually trying to play for their fans. Again.
Fabio Barini, is he on loan or has he?
He's on loan. Yeah, he's on loan. Great finish.
Apparently, I've got a mate who is from Sunderland and a Sunderland fan.
A Macam.
Precisely. And it's just she actually, and she told me that the last time, unfortunately, she was down south when. They won, which is gutted she wasn't in Sunderland. But apparently, last time Sunderland beat Newcastle in the derby, literally pubs were just giving out free beer. It was almost like the biggest party of the year when Sunderland beat Newcastle. Like, apparently, the place just went mental.
I tell you what, an interesting story for you. Do you remember?
I'll be the judge of that.
Do you remember the horse that got punched by a Newcastle fan last year?
Yes.
He was back on active service for that game.
Brilliant.
There were also a load of Newcastle fans there in horses.
I reckon.
Really?
Yeah.
They might make a film about that.
Oh, it'd be great.
You know, the tragic story of a horse getting punched in the face.
What would they call it?
Geordie horse.
No, Geordie horse.
That's an anagram.
That was brilliant.
His struggle through his rehabilitation, you know, after the severe injury.
I could
injury.
See Jimmy Nail playing the horse.
Or Reed Van Nistelrooy.
Oh, get Black Beauty.
Oh, it's not worth it, horsey. Don't go back out into service.
Right. And then, the uplifting, ending of Back to Service to see.
Yeah.
Sunderland beat Newcastle, and that'll be the ending.
You can see at the end Fabio Barini probably played.
Trotting off into the sunset on the horse.
Yeah, no, do the whole game from
hooking him.
I was going to do the whole game from the horse's perspective outside.
Or change it slightly. The horse comes on with 5 minutes to go and scores the winner with a bullet header.
Well, no, that's just fucking stupid.
Well, you know,
you've actually ruined this right now.
Cancel the film. Sorry, the film's been cancelled.
Sorry, Ridley. Yeah, we'll get back to you when we've got a better script.
I actually know someone who knows Ridley Scott.
Really?
Fuck War Horse, it's Geordie Horse.
Yeah. No, it would be, it'd be War Horse, like they say, oh, War Bobby.
Yeah.
War Horse, W-O-R. I think that.
W-O-R,
I still prefer Geordie Horse.
Should we talk about Joe Hart?
We've
been talking about weekend fixtures and big games.
Do you know what he could have done? He could have gone, he could have gone somehow from horses to donkeys. Speaking of donkeys.
I'm not obsessed. I'm not as obsessed as you are with tenuous links.
That's why you're not going to get to my level, Andrew. You're never going to get to my level as a podcaster if you don't get the
I won't stoop that low. We'll not stoop that low.
So this is Joe Hart, Man City's number two. Am I right?
Ooh. Well, by the looks of things,
don't do that, because he is fucking England's number one goalkeeper.
Yeah, but do you not? I don't like that. Oh, he's the best we've got.
Oh, hello. She's all right.
So, anyway, back to football.
You can have a mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kostov Pantemilian, or whatever his name is.
He's not going to be their number one.
No.
They're not going to drop Hart yet.
I think, you know what? It might do Hart a little bit of good, just to have a few games on the bench and be out of the spotlight.
Oh no, wrong Hart.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Take him out of the spotlight. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You've missed another link, haven't you? We could have just gone straight to Hart stuff, but now.
A terrible error.
It was a poor error and a mistake, but you know, I'm sure he will move on. I'm sure he will. And it could be worse. He could be playing for Droylsden.
It could be.
Another man. See, I've got a tenuous link in, another Mancunian club. Last night, Droylsden were playing Fylde, I think that's how you pronounce it, at home, in the Evo Stick North Premier. And they lost 10-0
at home.
I actually know a Droylsden fan as well. They're bottom of the league. 2 points
at home.
From 14 games. The only thing that can make them feel better is that Hyde, who we've spoken about a few times, they're still on 2 points after 16 games. They've
can
still
can
not picked
question, where are Filled, or however you pronounce them, in the league?
I think I've actually got them.
Because to lose 10-0, I hope they're top of the league and unbeaten.
Yeah. No, they're second in the league.
All right, so they're doing
fair
well.
Enough, well, in fact, no, actually, I think they dropped to third when I checked the league table earlier. They're second or third, so they're up there. They're not a bad side. They're behind Skene.
It was a pleasure, obviously. Actually, if we're continuing on leagues outside of the top four, I wanted to talk about Staines Town.
Shithole.
The magic of the FA Cup. The magic of the FA Cup.
Oh, yeah, no. Hang on a minute.
Right. Staines Town beat Poole away on Tuesday night. So they've qualified for the first round of the FA Cup, for the FA Cup proper, and they've got their dream fixture. I mean, if there was anyone they
Chelsea.
Could have drawn, no. Think again.
Fulham.
No, slightly closer to the table.
Either Ashford Town.
No, they've drawn Brentford Chelsea. At Griffin Park. What a dream fixture.
I'm sure they would have preferred Brentford. Imagine they'll get more money at Griffin Park.
So we always play, pre-season friendly, but... the first time that we've ever played in a competitive game.
Well, there we go.
That's fantastic. I love the FA Cup. You know what? If we lose to Staines Town, I wouldn't care. I'd love to see him go on.
Yeah.
Get into the next round.
I really hope you do for that show. But I've got a few highlights from the draw. Shortwood, you mentioned, beat Aldershot.
Yes.
And they've been rewarded with a game on BT Sports against Port Vale. It'll be a great game. Boreham won.
Do you know who was on BT Sport last night?
Who?
My mate Tom.
Was he?
Yeah, and he didn't fuck up.
Not Tom.
No. Tommy was on the show.
Oh, Tommy was on the show.
Yeah, my mate, the journo.
So he didn't fuck up like when he was on this show?
No. I tweeted him, hoping
quite he'd badly.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Oh, well, that's good. If you want to check out BT Sport from Tuesday night or Wednesday night, see, we're recording on Thursday. Yeah. I'm all thrown out. Throws me week up.
Life's a pitch. It was on there.
Life's a pitch.
Good
luck. Well, a few other highlights. Boreham Wood, one of my local teams, have got Carlisle, which would be a nice journey for the Carlisle fans. How many of them are going to come down to Boreham Wood? God knows. Corby Town versus Dover. Chesterfield hosting Daventry Town, who are, with Shortwood, the two lowest ranking teams in the draw. Gillingham, who have got Brackley, which would be a dream game for Brackley. Kidderminster, who got to their fifth round in 1994, which is the joint furthest and non-league team of modern recent
Sutton.
Time, versus Sutton, who were the last
Sutton.
Team to beat in a top flight team in the FA Cup. Last non-league side, they beat Coventry the year after Coventry won it. And Stourbridge versus Biggleswade, they're both from the seventh tier of English football.
I was going to say, that's a clash of the titles.
You can pretty much guarantee they will probably be one of those will be the lowest ranked team in the second round.
Chris, will you shut up?
Sorry.
What do you think that's
I didn't want to say anything. I've been a bit of a naughty boy. I didn't watch the Arsenal game.
Oh, dear.
You didn't watch it last night?
No, I didn't watch it the weekend.
You're not just here for our Arsenal. You're not here as the Arsenal correspondent.
An unbiased football pundit.
You're not here to be quiet either, because we've got Stuart Hall for that, haven't we, Stu?
Oh, Stu.
See, he still comes every week.
You won't get that at all, will you?
I won't get that.
No, you won't get that at all.
I don't think our listeners get it either, by the way.
Obviously, you're flying, but we've got you in a couple of weeks. I had a dream the other night that, for some reason, United were at home, but we were playing at the Elk Ivory, and United won 2-1 with goals from Wayne Rooney and a lovely dink from Fabio da Silva. Kieran Gibbs scored
for Fabio da Silva.
I tell you what, I cannot tell you how happy I am as a Spurs fan to be moving from fucking Finsbury Park this weekend. 6 months of hell I've had to live there. There's one thing you don't want to do is live in the heart of where your biggest rivals live. It's just horrible.
Especially when they're playing so well.
More fun when they lose.
I used to live in Finsbury Park as well. And my best night in Finsbury Park was the Champions League semi-final second leg, when every Arsenal fan I encountered was giving me so much stick. You're in trouble.
Can't see it's been covered by a boyfriend.
Bastard. He's done that on purpose. But every Arsenal fan gloating, crowing outside the pub, singing. Within 5 minutes, I could hear the stadium. Well, 10 minutes, I think it was, when we were 2-0 up. Just went silent. Yeah. Great night's sleep that night. No noise, nothing from the fans coming outside. Fantastic.
Just speaking of Arsenal really quickly, I think my favourite quote of the week was Nicholas Bentler. Insisting that he's trying his best and doing his most to help Arsenal win trophies this season.
Well, best hair. Yeah.
It is. It's incredibly depressing to think. Dan giggling like a girl. It's incredibly depressing to think he is at the moment our second choice striker.
Hang on a minute, Dan. Sorry, and I've just stopped Chris from talking here. But
what are you doing?
Aren't you just like sort of reintegrating Adebayor into the team?
I'd take Adebayor over Bentner any day.
I'm not sure I would.
Any day.
First of all, a million times over, and that's not the fact. Is we're still fourth in the league as well, and playing like shit, and still up there without a third striker.
Mm. Can I just ask?
Arsenal are top with one striker.
Yeah. Well, that's my worry, Andy. Is Giroud? Anything could happen to him, you know.
Yeah. I'd be worried.
Kidnapped by anything.
I'd stick Nacho Monreal up front before I stuck Bentner up front.
He did absolutely nothing on Tuesday night.
He did give the ball away quite well.
I would re-sign Manuel Almunia to play up front before I stuck Nicholas Bentner up front. No, that's not bad, because he's not that bad, but he's not good enough. Christopher Ray, he had cracking celebrations. I remember him scoring against us in the Charity Shield, do you know? A bit, he tried to do a backflip, but he kind of went on his side, which made it a bit more impressive. You know, we're not here to talk about gymnastics. Yeah.
However, how many links to Arsenal do I want? I'm going to throw in a naughty boy. I'm going to throw in a naughty boy straight away.
Why not?
Frimpong.
Naughty boy.
Very, very naughty boy. Asked why he wasn't in the squad for the Carling Cup game, was it? It was the Carling Cup game, wasn't it? He tweeted first, lol, which for the older generation out there means laughing out loud.
Well, I don't mean lots of love.
For the older generation and Mike Coxon, it means laughing out loud.
Oh,
YOLO. Lol, I want to laugh. So, I mean, that didn't even fucking make sense.
Laughing out loud, I want to laugh.
Yeah, all right. Then he wrote, sometimes I wish I was white and English.
Ooh. I'm sorry, but Arsene Wenger, that manager who, until recent years, had never
notorious racist.
I mean, think of all those great white players like Thierry Henry, Sylvain Wiltord, Patrick Vieira, Christopher Ray.
Just a very silly thing. Then his next one, Frimpong is a complete prick.
I think he's a bit dench.
He's a fucking dickhead.
That's his word.
No, it's not his word.
My brother uses that word.
It's his cousin, Lethal Bizzle.
Lethal Bizzle.
Yeah, but apparently they came up with it.
His cousin's Lethal Bizzle.
Did you know that?
Now I really don't like him.
Back to business.
Celebrity family.
Lethal Bizzle. Afterwards, not every tweet is about football or something like that. And they're like, mate, stop trying to dig
about. So then you are really just talking about racism and fascism.
I'm looking forward to his Michael Jackson style transformation over the next 10 years.
Blaming it on some disease. No, I like Frimpong. I don't think he's good enough. I like him as a person.
You like him as a person? He's a fucking idiot.
I think I like him.
Right. I don't know.
He's a complete chump.
I don't know.
I don't think he's good enough.
And I can't believe that.
I reckon if he was at a bus stop, he'd steal candy from a baby.
Yeah, I think he's a fucking little scumbag.
We'll see.
That's nice, isn't it?
We'll see. He did all right for Wolves. No, he didn't. Because they went down last season.
Speaking of Arsenal,
go on.
But not the Arsenal you think we're talking about.
I think you're talking about another Arsenal.
Yes, the South American.
No.
Is it the one from Chile?
Christopher. Over to you. Do you know about this?
No.
All right.
Dan, back to you.
One of the biggest bust-ups for a long time in a football game. Arsenal and Gymnasia. I'm not making this up, honestly.
It sounds like some sort of Latin American duo that had a brief dance craze.
Yeah. In the Argentine Apertura League, there was a bit of a kerfuffle. A couple of little bits of handbags that suddenly erupted into a 50-man brawl.
Ooh, not seen that in Argentinian football before, have we?
Not for a while. That involved all 22 football players, coaches, photographers, riot police.
The photographers
get involved. Well, the video is amazing. Riot police dived in, and eventually the referee had to cancel the game by sending off five players.
And a photographer,
and as well as the that was a different one. Sorry, no, that's it. But yeah, so not five players. So yeah,
talking about photographers, you like 10 years?
I do like 10 years. It's not like 10 years.
Andrew Townsend hurt himself in the last game he played.
Not
didn't
as
he?
Bad as he hurt
because
the photographer.
Of the photographer really cocked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But is there something to be said about the fact that if we're going to accommodate photographers on the side of pitches, why are we making basement-style drops for players to work? It's only like a foot drop.
Like it's only a tiny little bit, but by the time you go over painful. The board...
Maybe they could put some padding in there.
Yeah.
Or maybe have sofas around the side of the pitch for the photographers to sit on.
Beanbags. Nothing says class like inflatable furniture. Yeah, no, but do you remember, did you ever used to go to gymnastics class when you were a kid?
No,
yeah,
I was
blue
straight.
Mats. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, you haven't for fuck
say
me.
Say what?
Me, yeah,
when did you change?
Yeah. No, you don't remember the big sponge pit?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the big sponge pit? Right, so you can open those sponges around.
Not actually that safe, by the way. When
really?
I was at university...
Someone drowned?
No. Believe it or not, no. But a girl managed to land sort of head first, and she broke her neck.
Well, why was she jumping head first into it? Fucking idiot.
Well, she...
I say this, is she paralysed or something?
No, she did recover, but I mean, she was in all sorts of classes and things for about 12 months.
So Townsend hurt his wrist and hit his head, but the poor photographer who you saw, he caught his studs with
he
on the
really
way over and got a massive gash on his head.
Yeah, nasty one.
Because of it, but it was no one's fault.
It comes with the job, doesn't it?
I'm not sure you've got to expect it, you just have to sort of accept it.
Well, I'm not being funny, if I saw a football player flying towards me,
I'd
get out of the way.
There's dedication, Dan, and maybe he's not quite
he just wants
as
that
dedicated
final
as he is.
What, that final shot of an inch of Townsend's face, an inch away, like putting some dodgy expression.
To be fair, it depends who it was, though, but it's John Terry, I probably put my foot up.
Yeah,
true, me.
Oh, well, talking about feet up, can anyone name the footballer?
Yes, Dan,
can anyone name the footballer who said that he would perform a Cantona-style kick if he got any more abuse from the crowd?
No. Eric Cantona.
No.
I don't know.
Joey Barton. And I can't remember where I read this or what context.
He's not like him to be violent.
Yeah.
Someone had asked him about abuse that he was receiving from fans, and he said the next time that it was a Coke bottle or something.
He got hit in the head. Was it Peterborough? No, not Peterborough.
Yeah.
Was it Peterborough fan? No.
Who did he play?
Burnley. No, it was a Burnley fan.
Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley. Who were flying, by the way? I mean, the lad in
Burnley are flying. But yeah.
Hit in the head by a Coke bottle.
Brilliant for away fans. You know, Joe Barton takes corners and things. So if you're an away fan now, if you fancy maybe risking being, you know, banned from all football stadiums in the country, fair enough. Wind Barton up enough to make him do something, it would be premeditated for him. So he'd have to get more of a ban than Eric Cantona ever got. Eric Cantona, rush of blood to the head.
I believe, Andy, in the eyes of the law, that is technically a threat that Joey Barton issued on Twitter, yeah.
No, I've not...
Loads left in there.
No, there's a good... half a sit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of violence.
Oh,
he's in there. There we go.
Speaking of violence.
I like the way we're selling.
Anyway, I was calling for a fan to incite Barton into violence.
Well, no, we don't promote violence.
Which I believe is also a threat.
We don't promote violence. We don't promote violence.
It's a good enough opportunity
but speaking
for
of violence,
to bring Barton
extreme,
into the...
Remember the footballer that, was it boiled his wife or his dog?
Oh no, he cut his wife up and then fed her to dogs.
Right, that, yeah. Well, yeah. We've had another, it's very sad.
It's fucking weird.
João Santos. Yeah, it is, João Santos. Yeah. Footballer, a Brazilian footballer. Brazilian?
Just retired,
just retired. He was kidnapped. Sorry, a little bit of somber moment. He was kidnapped, and then a couple of days later, his wife opened the door to find his head inside of a rucksack with the eyes and tongue cut out.
Yeah.
The body is still nowhere to be seen.
I will say there's no suggestion that he was involved in any sort of criminal activity. He was taken from the outside, he's put a health food shop now.
Yeah.
But his wife is a police officer. Yeah.
No, I think she's a police officer, but she's something to do with I think it's something to do with the law court or something. She's something. Yeah. I don't know, she's not actually a police, but she's something to do with.
But was this kidnapping? Was it demand made or something?
No, he was kidnapped and then it appeared on her doorstep.
Yeah.
Mental. I don't really know how to sort of tie that in without it.
Yeah.
Not being funny. Actually, it's not funny, but it's fucking.
No, it's not funny.
Actually, staying on quite sad football stories. All the best to Fernando Rixon, former Rangers, Zenit St. Petersburg, and Holland player, who revealed this week in an interview that he's been diagnosed with motor neurone disease. Yeah. So all the best to you. Very brave. He went on Dutch TV and spoke about it openly, even though he's struggling with, obviously, the conditions of his disease. But all the best to him. Hopefully he can.
I also want to sort of continue on this theme, but in a more uplifting way, well, as uplifting as it can be. Uwe Rosler, manager of Brentford, he's undergone, contracting cancer, going through all the rest of it. Just found out that in the weeks leading up to the playoff final, his wife had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And he kept it completely out of, so no one knew about it outside of the club, and it was kept completely outside of closed doors. What a fucking time for a guy to be going through something like that with his family and stay committed to the football club he was running. And you know what, my thoughts are with you, Uwe. I think you're a fantastic guy. You're doing a lot more for Brentford than anyone else
done
in a long
City
time.
He's a Manchester City legend. I mean, he's booked being serialised in the mirror at the moment and in talking about how when he had cancer, 46,000 City fans were chanting his name and he's standing ovation.
If any Brentford fans are listening, I really call on you to give him a bit of a break. He's doing all right. He's doing really well.
You're fifth in the league?
We're now fifth in the league. We're doing a lot better than we were 3 games ago, which is less than eight or nine days ago.
Good news. Let's go uplifting good news.
Yeah.
Which is fucking good news for you as well, but I really like the fact Darren Fletcher's back.
Yeah,
he is.
Darren Fletcher's back. Yeah.
He's on the way.
He is. He
weighs about
the,
half 20... of his body weight from the
I don't think it's quite half, but he's lost a significant amount.
He's had a real bad time of it, isn't he?
Well, it's chronic bowel disease, isn't it?
It is, Steve Redgrave had the same thing, and I know he's been talking a lot with Steve Redgrave about how he coped with it throughout his career. I think it's something colitis or something, bowel colitis, or I'm not quite
sure. It's something
sure,
pretty nasty.
Great to see that, especially with the state of our central midfield.
Absolutely.
Form he was in before he got the illness.
Well, I mean, in theory, you think if he is better now, give him till New Year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come give him best part of a couple of months to get back to fitness. He could be in contention in New
Year.
That's
it. And people often think he's just holding midfielder, but he could score fantastic goals. He was a good passer of the ball. Hopefully he still is. Hopefully he can come back to as good as he was. But it's just great to have him back. It's heartwarming, shall we say.
Speaking of
heartwarming, and Manchester United, who saw the photo bomb by David Moyes?
I love that. I love
absolutely
the photo
brilliant.
Bomb.
During, absolutely brilliant. Tuesday's game against Norwich.
It was an Olympic rower. Olympic rower was obviously, that's why they get the decent seats. An Olympic rower was taking a picture of her sister, and you just see David Moyes' cheeky little face in the background, like with a little grin on his face.
Have you also seen the photo that's been doing the round of David Moyes from early in his career when he was playing for, I think, Dunfermline or St Mirren?
No.
It's been quite heavily photoshopped because they showed the original.
Right.
But he basically looks like an extra from Train Spotting, even in the original, because he's been photoshopped to have bags under his eyes and spots.
Oh,
right. Even before that, he just looks really like gawky and.
So nothing's changed.
I encountered someone sent me a link the other day Andy Carroll's Bebo page.
Oh, I've seen that.
Which is great. As something you're 16, 17 years old, just doing self shots in the mirror with his top off.
We've talked about that.
Me looking buff. Like,
I think we talked about it on podcast, 61.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Get with the time.
Get with the fucking player, all right? This is 150, all right?
Sorry.
No, that is brilliant. Another thing that's brilliant, reminding me of Thierry and Robert Pires.
Robbie.
Did you see that some Muppets are still trying to recreate that fucking epic penalty failure?
Oh, God, really?
Brilliant. I mean, it was from the Austrian 5th Division, and they were... I think they did end up winning 5-1. However, Milan Prvovorov and Mario Petter tried to do the same thing. Got up to take the penalty, gone to roll it forward a little bit for the other guy, obviously, to come and smash it back in there. Rolled it far too forward and ended up just being a pass to the keeper. epic
Speaking of penalty failures, Dan.
Yes. or not so?
Well, if you can't score them, you're not going to win games. And for Villa, who played, actually, I thought, really well against Everton at the weekend, what can we say? But bad result from a good performance, I thought. Everton were quite lucky to win 2-0.
Well, I didn't really see.
Tim Howard credited his save to his beard, didn't he?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, is that why you're growing your beard?
That's why Chris is really good at saving penalties.
Yeah, I'm fucking quality. It's only the beard. Yeah.
There's been a lot said about Fulham the last week, though, hasn't there? I mean, Fulham, bear in mind...
They lost to Leicester.
The game against Southampton... Well, Southampton won 2-0.
Herbisov's coming under a lot of stick, isn't he?
It could have been 10. But no, seriously, it could have been 10.
Four shots, neither on target.
It's been lambasted as one of
love
the worst.
That word.
I don't think I've used it, have I?
I love that word.
Oh, you love it. I thought you said I love it.
No, I love that word.
Oh, you're welcome. Or lauded as one of the worst.
I love that word.
Worst away game, away performances like in the Premier League ever. Like I said, it was just an absolute shambles.
For some reason, now in my head, all I'm thinking is they call me Mr. Lambastic. That's what I'm going to call you from now on, Mr. Lambastic.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
And that game against. Leicester on Tuesday night as well. Yep. Like, bloody hell. What a game.
What do you reckon? Yol out?
To go to?
O'Neill in?
No.
Maybe?
No, I'd stay with Joel.
I really enjoyed watching Brighton Watford on Monday night as well, actually. That was a really good, like, especially the second half.
What was the score?
1-1 in the end, but it was for the last sort of 15, 20 minutes, both teams absolutely went for it.
That's what you want to see.
It was brilliant. It was such an entertaining game to watch. And there's been a few games in the Championship I've watched, Championship and League One this season, that have just been a bit meh. You know what I mean? Like teams have gone out to park the bus or to play for points. But it was so good to see two teams with 20 minutes to go, 1-1 gone, fuck it, let's both go for it. And it was so entertaining.
Go on.
I've only got a couple more of these.
Go on.
This actually made national news. When I was sat in the cafeteria eating chicken, and it was on Sky News, which has really upset me because you know how I like to get news in that not many people know about.
Yeah.
But it was referee Saeed Al Fadali.
I like him already.
In the Kuwait Premier League. Did anyone see this? You didn't see it. It made national news.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's national news. It's on Sky News. Basically, it was in the...
I was eating chicken, sorry.
It was in Al... No, that was me. It was in Al Arabi's 4-1 win over Al Nasser. And he basically gave a very dodgy penalty decision, which then led to a bit of an argument, which then led to a bit of a kerfuffle, which then led to the referee punching one player in the face, kung fu kicking another, sending two other people off, and then sending off two coaches and two subs. It was probably the most farcical display of refereeing. Yeah.
In terms of the violence, you always got a little bit concerned that Kalina was always on the verge of doing that.
You knew he was in control.
Yeah. He was capable of doing it though.
Check it out if you can on YouTube. It is absolutely ridiculous. So it's sort of the defender gets in his face a little bit, and you're thinking, all right, you can understand he's getting in his face a little bit. All right, back off. But he doesn't really do much. He just then punches him in the face. And then when our guy sort of comes in, I think the lino comes in to sort of break him up, he then sort of does a sort of spinning kung fu kick round the lino to kick someone else. Like, ref, leave it out.
Actually, on the subject of getting sent off, I think the most famous is Claudio Caniggia at the 2002 World Cup. He was playing for Rangers at the time. He got sent off, but it has happened before. It's very rare. Although Ryan Shawcross was booked in the changing rooms at half time.
Really? Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah.
Because he was winding up Van Persie.
Yeah.
And then apparently they had a bit of
the manager said he's never ever heard of or seen anyone get booked in the changing room.
Because Mark Hughes just used to get sent off and booked on the pitch.
Can I just very quickly, with it's Halloween and urban legends, right? I've got two, right? I've got one. I'm going to finish the show on a story because I think it's hilarious.
You could have linked Lethal Bizzle from there to urban legends. I mean, he is an urban legend, isn't he?
Is he?
Well, he does urban music and he's a legend.
Why is he a legend?
Come on, guy.
That is fucking shit.
Have you never listened to Back to Business?
No.
It's a great album.
Oh, my fucking God.
Bizzle, bizzle, grease on my butt.
Urban legend. Apparently, and apparently, I say it's an urban legend because it actually happened. Stop it. I don't remember it. It was in 2006, a game between Barbados and Granada. I'm lying. 1994. Right? This is how about this for a weird football story. 1994 in the Shell Caribbean Cup, right? Barbados Granada. Barbados needed to win the game by two clear goals in order to progress to the next round, right? Trouble was, there was a ridiculous rule that said if you won by penalties, you were awarded a 2-0 victory. Right, it's back in 1994, Granada, but no one ended up with them. Five minutes ago, Barbados are leading 2-1, right? I fucking love this. Barbados are leading 2-1, and they're going out of the tournament because they need to win by two goals.
You can already
guess. So, they've then scored, 2 minutes ago, they've then scored an own goal, right? Granada, realising what they're doing, have then tried to then score an own goal themselves. For the last 5 minutes of the game, both teams are defending the opposition's goal line to try and stop the other one scoring an own goal. And eventually Barbados managed to pull through and stop Granada scoring another own goal themselves.
I feel sorry for the officials.
And then ended up winning on penalty to get the 2-0 win and going through. Can you imagine seeing something like that now? Can you imagine like trying to score an own goal and you're defending the opposition's goal to try and stop you scoring an own goal?
On the subject of controversial goals, Leroy Fer at the weekend?
Yes.
Oh, controversial goal.
And controversial comments afterwards.
No, the Watford-Brighton game. The ball was clearly over the line and they don't have technology in the
I don't know if we discussed this last week, but the most controversial goal was Leverkusen winning 2-1 against Hoffenheim with a header from Kiesling that went through the side netting.
But he
was given his goal.
The Bundesliga
won't replay the game.
Did he not go to the rift straight away?
Why the fuck was there a hole in the side netting in a fucking Bundesliga game?
But it went through.
I thought he went to the rift a few minutes after and it wasn't given.
But anyway, it's not a tremendous amount of time. But we do, because it's 150th show, I've asked for a few significant mentions of great things. One that Paul Sparrow mentioned was Dan's Aussie accent, one of his favourite things.
It's too late now, it's the end of the show. My plan was to, whenever I was talking about a relevant point, whatever that point was, whatever nationality that person or that point was, I was going to do it in that accent. I then realised that I had quite a few stories about Africans. And about
we'll leave it there, shall we?
And
we'll just leave it there.
I might end up. Yeah. Well, some of it was really funny. I had some stuff about Zidane up and said,
I wish we'd done the Geordie horse bit in more of the
Geordie accent. That's true. Really, really quickly, have you seen Liverpool's new signing?
Yeah.
Mate, not fair. Miss World, Rosanna Davison, former Miss World, is now the head of, or now the main host of Liverpool TV.
She is
well fit.
Let's get her on the show.
She's not okay. We've already had Kay.
What's the last thing? Because I want to finish with a little story.
Well, we can't. But
finishing with stories.
FFDU have spoke about the time that Jess came over here and scared the hell out of Dan.
That was a good day.
Which is great, but it's lovely. But one thing that is great, I've got a list of listeners that we'll mention at the very end. But we've got another iTunes review.
Yes, we do.
Perfect. We did from Paul 1414. And of course, it's 5 stars. Short, fresh and funny. This is the perfect podcast. Very simple format, group of normal blokes, talk about football talk about football with no arrogance or delusions of grandeur. They clearly didn't listen to the show where I talk about being my show.
Or when Dan talks about Spurs.
Stick with it as raw audio could be poor. And there was a strange tapping noise, but well worth sticking with it.
Yes.
And he listens every week in Malaysia.
Oh, thank you.
I might be there next month, my honeymoon.
Well, I love the fact that we're an international podcast.
We are international podcasters, that's us.
Yeah.
But go on, give us your story.
Right, so we'll wrap it up.
It's not going to ruin the show, is it?
The story, yeah.
No. It's absolutely brilliant.
You're not going to read all of that out, are
you? No, I'm not. Long story short, Peter and Lovu. Is that how you spell it?
Unlove.
Unlove.
Old commentary striker.
Just think about how people feel about you.
Unlove. Love. It was from an incident in the 2006 World Cup, African Cup of Nations. And It was at a team hotel after Ghana, after being Ghana.
Who was he playing for?
Zimbabwe.
After being Ghana in the African Cup of Nations. He was there with his friend, who cannot be named for legal reasons. However, he does like to put that it is, fans of English football remember him from his highly successful period with Leeds United.
Robert Mugabe.
No. Which is?
Radebe.
Or no. Tony Yeboah, probably.
Tony Yeboah. Right. Tony Yeboah.
Legend.
Tony Yeboah was in
loved the... Yorkshire was it, puddings.
And well, not, that's not all he loved. Tony Yeboah was in the team hotel that night having drinks with them. He was getting loads and loads of stick, loads and loads of stick, especially off the manager, right? Because, obviously, being Ghanaian, they'd beaten him. And, you know, being a proud Ghanaian, you could tell that... Sorry, the man who can't, we can't name, Tony Yeboah, was taking it gracefully.
You named him.
Well, we've already done that twice. We'd done it.
I'd love it if actually said that. It was Dominic Mattia.
It wasn't. It was Tony Yeboah, shut up.
Okay.
Anyway, so proud Ghanaian, getting a bit upset after a while. You could see that he was taking a little bit of stick, taking it to heart a little bit. Anyway, it got to a bit too much, right? And after a few more drinks, it got to the point where he obviously was getting really pissed off with the stick. So at the end of the night, all the lads went to bed. What the coach used to do, the coach was giving them the most stick of all. What the coach used to do in the mornings was come round, give an early wake-up call, get the players out of bed, come on, shut it.
He is reading so the players, whole sheet,
no,
isn't
No, I'm not. I'm not even looking at it. I'm not even looking at it. I'm looking at you. So the next morning, decides to get the bit back on the manager and go and wake him up instead. Turns out, the manager wasn't in the room. The manager,
who was that?
The manager was in the toilet because he'd passed out after boozing too much. Who was in the room?
I don't know.
Tony Yeboah was in the room.
Oh, you named him again!
What was he doing in the room?
Allegedly. I have no idea, Dan.
Shagging the coach's missus. So Unlove apparently has got rounded up the lads, gotten out of the room as quickly as possible, trying to keep it on the down low. And the next morning when he spoke to Tony Yeboah, sorry, allegedly, when he asked him what had happened, he said he delivered a line that he'll remember the rest of his life. He says, when a man insults my country, I insult him by taking his woman.
And that is the podcast mantra.
Motto. Yeah.
Never slag off somebody's country.
Yeah. They will bid you.
Otherwise, yeah. They'll fuck you on.
Yeah. That is a brilliant story to end on. You know, it's great. We've had 150 great shows. Hopefully we'll have 150 more.
Fuck off.
So, okay, really? We've had 150 passable shows and hopefully we won't do another 150. But we'll see. It's been great from myself, from Andy, from Chris, from Jason Giselle. It's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you to our regular listeners, a few to name, Andre Double Sin, Paul Sparrow.
No, yeah, leave that. Oh, Melbourne Heart. Melbourne Heart lost. It was shit. Yeah. They lost 1-0. That's why got to do better.
Right. Well, a few more. Tim Tantrum, Malcolm Meatball.
Malcolm Meatball.
The Meatball. Cuckoo Agami. There are loads on here. Firas, of course. Tim Bevan. Of course, our friends at FFDU. Everyone else, we really appreciate it. Always interact on Twitter, Facebook. We'll always be there for you, we promise. We're not like a
child. I'll be there we for won't die. You.
And on that note, thank you very much. We will
too
be back
beers.
Next week.
Too many lunchtime beers.
151/52.
That's 151!